Okay, welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Sha Marie.
I'm Jean.
And today, I was on watching Snapped, okay? Got a new notebook, guys, nice and fresh and clean.
Oh, good.
It was a two-parter, and I never thought I would talk about this bitch, but I don't know. I watched it, and then I was like, fuck it, why not? So we're going to talk about Jodi Arias. And no, I won't make fun of her name. Because I think Cumwatts might have been a mistake. Who knows, though? No one's bashing me for it, but we had a family get-together, and everybody at the get-together was like, oh. Yeah, it was crazy.
Anyway, oh, how'd that go?
Super good.
Good.
It was really cute. My mom gave us the wrong time, so we were super late. So it lasted a whole, like, 10, 20 minutes. It was fine. Yeah, it was great. Anyway.
You got there for dessert. That's good.
No, they waited. They're nice people.
Oh, wow.
And we'll get into that after this. That's not podcast talk, because you guys would be so bored hearing me rant.
That's not true.
You guys would be. Anyway, before we get on to little Miss Jodi, though. Jodi, right? Yeah, Jodi.
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 Jodi. Look at little Jodi. She's so fucking pretty, and I hate to say
it. She is. She's a nice-looking girl.
Oh, she just is.
Got
She's just fucking too. Crazy. She has a couple. Anyway, so... Okay, so you guys, I really went down a black hole.
You did, my God.
I
did. It's like an essay.
I did. Okay, so first, I'll just go off of this page. This is a neater page. And this is also off of a documentary on the Oxygen Channel. It's all about Jodi. After the Snapped, I was like, hold the fucking phone. Need to watch more about this crazy chick. And like, I knew about it before.
Mm-hmm.
But before, I wasn't doing a podcast, so all my thoughts were just meaningless.
Yeah.
But now...
we can share.
You guys get to listen to me. I guess bully killers is, I guess that's what I'm into, is bullying killers and being disrespectful for murderers. Oh, so that's what I was going to say. Before we got onto this, before we get into this story, once again, I will pause and take a moment and say, you guys, I got my first bad review today. Like 6 hours ago. Very first one. Surprising, since we're almost 30 episodes into this shit. Surprising, this is the first.
Yeah, pretty good.
But it is, and this person said that I acted like a 10-year-old child. Not even a child, a 10-year-old child. Go me.
You created a nickname.
I guess.
It's always exciting.
It is. And like, Cumwatts, Chris Watts, I mean, guys. It's fucking magic. It makes itself. It really does. But, and then they said my YouTube channel was horrible, which is so wrong. But anyway, but I did thank them for their comment because I'm a nice person. I just want to let you guys know, first time ever happened, home MG. And I was just telling Eric the other day, I was like, I hate that I don't know. Like, I don't know if people love it. I don't know if people hate it. I just see that people view it.
I like feedback because
we get none.
You take it personally and make it ruin your day. I just find it constructive. But
right? Like, yeah. I won't be a 10-year-old, maybe. I will... What?
What is that banging noise? We had somebody at the door or something?
Oh, no. It's probably my washer.
Oh, good. Okay. Sorry, folks.
But anyway, yeah. So, like I told that person, guys, this is just my view. If you don't like it, totally fine. But don't forget to like and subscribe. Okay? And share. If you don't like it, share the fuck out of it. Shit. Bad news hits faster than good news. Someone amongst you will have a reasonable mind and love me. But anyway, we'll get to the story because that's just my little banter. I really don't like to start off the episodes without getting like right into the story. I usually like to save my bantering for the end. But I'm just so excited that someone doesn't like me. It just excited me. Hold on. Anyhooser, sorry, children. But now we'll get into the story. So. We're going to talk about Jodi Arias. Jodi Ann Arias. And she was born July 9th of 1980 in California. So, she's crazy. But,
Why is that? I was born in 80.
Because she's just crazy, Jean. I don't fucking know. Jeez. She just is.
You just said it right after her birthday, so I felt the need to be offended.
Well, no, because I'm a Cancer. I'm July 6th.
I'm a Leo, though.
And I'm crazy. Wow. She's a Cancer. I'm a Cancer. I'm just relating to
it. That's also in your blood, though.
You know what I mean? Well, yeah. With that. It's not in hers. Her family looked adorable and sweet.
Yeah.
Anywho. So on June 2nd, before I even get to June 2nd, she starts dating this guy, Travis Alexander, that she meets at the PPL conferences. Her friends hook her up because they both work there, but he's like more ahead in the company, so he has to go to like bigger party things. Uh-huh. And so he needs a date to fill his ticket. Because, like, you get two tickets.
Yeah.
You bring your date or whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, we just hired some hot chick named Jody. You want her to come? Oh. And, like, chill with you? And he was like, yeah. So all night long, they're giving fuck me eyes to each other. They're digging it. Everybody's loving it. And so he's a really good guy. He's a Mormon from Utah. But he lives in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's a really sweet guy. And, like, we'll get into the trial and what they try to say about him. And it's just super sad. But just know that he is a really sweet guy. And his poor family. I don't know if I'd be able to sit quietly through trials when we'll talk about some shit that pops up. And I'll say what I have to say then. Yeah. Anywho. So he is very established. He's doing very good. Mm-hmm. He's a motivational speaker.
Oh.
And so PPL stands for prepaid legal services. They hustle, I guess. And so Jody works there. He works there. He's ahead of the game. Whatever. Like I said, he is a devout Mormon.
Yeah.
And then he kind of turns into a Jack Mormon. Oh. And hopefully that's not offensive. That's just what us Idahoans say. Like, the Jack Mormons are the people who are Mormon, but yet we still get down and do some shady shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so 2 months into the relationship, she gets fucking baptized.
Oh.
LDS. Oh, wow. Dude, she switches. Like, she's like, no, I am a child of God. And gets baptized, and he's like one of the people. He's already been on a mission.
Uh-huh.
He went on a mission to Denver. And so he was like part of her baptism. And in her mind, I guess, when she does this, it's like, now he'll marry me. I am the perfect Mormon or whatever. And but he wants a woman that's pure, a pure Mormon woman. So he's like, well, this is cool and all. Like, I dig it. Thanks.
Yeah.
But, like, I ain't marrying you.
Yeah.
And, like, he told all of his friends, he's like, well, she's not, like, the one, but, like,
she's nice.
She's the one right now. Mm-hmm. She's not my forever. And then she starts getting crazy. And he starts telling his friends. He has no problem telling his friends what's going on in his life. He's very open. His friends seem very, very sweet. One of his friends, I'll talk about him. He seems like just, I don't know. It's just so sad. I don't know. Anyway.
Are you going to cry so sad with this episode?
Dude, it's so sad because people that kill and then, like, blame the victim and, like, put the victim on trial and, like,
Twist it.
All because you're cute. Drives me insane. And it breaks my heart. Because that family of that victim has to sit there and listen to all those horrible things that you want to fucking make up and say about somebody. All because you're in the position that you're in. Mm-hmm. And it's just horrible. But we'll get
there. Were they able to call bullshit when appropriate?
Kind of, sort of. But we'll get there because...
Okay.
She's crazy. Anyway.
Oh, I have questions.
So, he tells her, like, okay, dude, you're getting a little creepy. Things are getting cray-cray. We need to break this off.
Yeah.
That's 5 months later. And then she's like, well, I'm never going to be the Mormon that he wants. So, they break up. They're not dating anymore. But he still knows if he press send on the text message, she's coming.
Yeah.
She'll be there in a flash to do what he wants. So, his roommates...
Maybe she saw him as security?
Well, what really pushed her over the edge is his work gave away a trip to Cancun.
Oh, nice.
Was... They do, like, all paid trips and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to Cancun, and Jody knows about this.
And she bought the perfect swimsuit.
Well, no. Well, she probably did. But, like, she's realizing that she's not being invited.
Oh, that's always awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going down that way. And while you're watching it, you're like, but why, Travis? Why did you not take her to Cancun?
Who did you take to Cancun?
Some sweet girl that got her heart broken.
Oh.
Because he died. Anyway. So, yeah, I know. I just got super sad, huh? Anyway. So, on June 2nd, right? Okay, so she figures out pretty much, I'm not going to Cancun. He's taking someone else. He knows that that's happening.
Yeah.
Because this crazy bitch is breaking into his Facebook. Hacking his Facebook, hacking his emails, his phone account. Dude, she'd break into his house and sleep on his couch without his know-all. And she would crawl through the damn doggy door.
I'm glad that this is after that. This is following that obsession podcast we did a couple episodes ago.
Yeah. And she's crazy. And, like, I guess she
recognized that a lot of my behavior is kind of silly. Let's stop. He's not losing any sleep over this. He already forgot your name, honey.
Well, halfway through the doggy door, dude, you got to think. Like, yeah. Is this the road we're going down?
Oh, good Lord. Okay, this is fun. Okay.
Okay, so, yeah. And his tires are getting slashed and everything else. So, on Wednesday, June 4th, his friends come over and the girl that he's supposed to take to Cancun comes over. Because no one can get a hold of him. He's missed very important meetings and everything else.
Where is she going again? Sorry, I was coughing and not paying attention.
Well, okay, he thinks... She's going to Utah.
Okay.
Because there's a conference for PPL in Salt Lake City.
And so Jody's going to Utah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he's aware of that.
Travis.
That's what they think. Yep. This is what's being put out there. So she's supposed to be in Utah. He's supposed to be over there.
In the sunshine.
In the sunshine. Whatever.
Getting tan.
Well, like I said, his friends had realized no one's getting a hold of him. He's missing.
Meetings he wouldn't have missed.
Yeah, he's no missing. There, yeah. He is a very responsible.
His career is the most important thing.
Very important. Right, he's trying to build that successful man to get the successful Mormon wife. And he even moves from Utah to Arizona because it's like the second most Mormon populated place next to. Neither did I. Until this. And so. When they break up, him and Jody break up, she moves to Mesa, Arizona. And he's like, okay, we'll play this cool. I'll be nice. And then that's when she starts doing all this crazy shit. And he's telling the girl that he's taking to Cancun that I have a stalker or someone stalking me. He's telling her what happened. He's just not saying saying her name.
Yeah.
So that is the one shitty thing. Anyway. So, his friends go over there June 8th, okay? And they're pounding on the door. They're pounding on the door. No one's answering the fucking door.
Yeah.
So they go in through the garage. They know the garage.
Code.
Cody thing. So they go into the garage. They go upstairs. They find the roommate in his room. And he's watching a movie. So he doesn't hear what's going on.
Uh-huh.
And then that they call the cops, right? The friends do. And they tell the cops, we just got into our friend's room. The roommates have smelt something getting funky, but Travis has a dog, but Travis hasn't been seen. So they're like, maybe it's the dog. Maybe it's dirty dishes. It's a bachelor pad. They're minding their business all until the friends come. They get in the door. He gets in the door.
Time out. How many days was he missing?
5. He was found 5 days later.
So roommates didn't see him.
Yeah. On the door. This isn't common.
Let the dog
This is
out.
Not uncommon, though. They knew he... They thought he was in Cancun. Like, they told the friends. They're like, no, he's in Cancun. And they're like, no, he's fucking not, because I'm his plus one.
Yeah.
Like, no, dude, I'm here. Help me. So they find the spare key to Travis's room. They get in there. They call the police. What they find is blood in, like, his... Dude, this house is amazing. So his room is massive. Okay, so you go in the bedroom, you turn. There's this huge, long hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're in the big, huge master bathroom with the standing shower, the big tub, 2 sinks. You guys want to buy it? I don't know if it's for sale. Just hustled it to you, though. Like, it's massive.
You'd have to get that cleansed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they see blood. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. And they're like, what the fuck?
Don't touch anything.
The roommate's like, stay on the phone. Yeah, stay on the phone with 911. I'm going to walk back here.
Yeah.
So he goes back there. Travis is curled up in the shower. And when the mortician gets there, he said his fingers and his toes were starting to turn black. So he was like starting to, he was starting to mummify. Someone did shower him off, though. At some point in time. His body was showered off because there wasn't all the blood that should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So they get there, the detectives and the prosecuting attorney, detective and all that stuff. And they get his body, whatever. They find a shell casing from a gun. And the gun is a 25 caliber, I think. Yeah. No. A 22. Ha. A 22. I know nothing of guns. Don't judge me. Anyway. So they find that on the shower floor, kind of by his body. It's not obvious that he's been shot, though, until they get to the morgue and we get into all that fun stuff. So then a cop goes up and he's like, hey, detectives, you guys, come here.
Check this out.
You guys will not believe what I found in the washing machine. And they're like, well, what? Like, it's almost a brand new digital camera.
Mm. In the washing machine?
In the washing machine.
Oh, I'd put it there too.
Well, that's where I keep mine. And the memory card is still in the camera.
Oh, good.
So someone who is smart, intelligent, put it in there to ruin it. But didn't take the memory card. Anyway, I'll let you guys think
that
over.
Well, maybe there was adrenaline and she was panicking.
Yeah. So that's where that happened.
That happened.
So when they find it, they take it back and they're like, okay, well, let's go through it. They go through it. They're like, oh, this is casual. We're going to keep going through it. And they're like, oh, well, we found some deleted pictures. It's going to take a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So they go back to the crime scene. They also find a bunch of women's hair everywhere and a full-size bloody palm print. And so they take all that.
But yeah.
And while the cop's doing this, all of a sudden, dude, not even 24 hours into the investigation, he's still talking to friends. And friends told 911, psh, Jody did it.
Mm-hmm.
His stalker's name is Jody. She's tripping all the time. She did it.
Mm-hmm.
Not those words. But I don't have a recording of it. Or else I'd play it, but I don't want to look through the show to give it to you. So watch the show.
Watch the show.
Anyway, so, where was I? Sorry.
Judy Harris.
Yeah, right? Anywho. So, not even 24 hours into it, the cops phone get a message from the office, and they're like, some chick named Jody's trying to get a hold of you guys. And they're like, okay.
The detectives?
Mm-hmm.
Did she have information?
Well, it's weird because she, like, puts herself in it. It's weird. Like, the friends are saying she's shady and everything else. She doesn't know that, obviously. It's not like this is a group phone call and she's aware that people are pointing the finger at her. So, when the cops talk to her, he's like, well, what's up? And she's like, well, I just want to be helpful in any way I can. I was really good friends with Travis. And he's like, oh, you were? She's like, yeah, I'll do anything. I haven't seen him in forever. I moved back to California. I haven't. And she goes out of her way to say that she hasn't been to Mesa super quick. Like, I haven't been to Mesa in like 5 months. I've been in California. We had a planned trip that he was going to come. I was going to go, but it didn't fall through. Obviously, now he's dead. And she's like, I'll help any way I can. Please let me help you. And he tells her, he's like, okay, well, everybody's saying you did it. What about that?
On the phone?
Yeah. Oh, and good. She's like, I don't know why people would say that. Like, I really don't. I have no idea. Not a clue. But she's willing to give. Dude, she gave up her fingerprints and her DNA.
Yeah.
Just like everybody else did. So, meanwhile, she, like I said, she's in California. They're in Mesa, Arizona. You guys, sorry. Don't know if that's obvious to people. But, bless you. I knew that was coming. Okay. Anywho, bless Jane. Anyway. So, she's saying that she'll give any information or whatever. So, then they get the DNA and everything back. It's hers. The palm print, hers. They get the pictures back from the deleted pictures back. It's naked Travis. Naked Jody. Doing some shit. Doing some dirty. And it's very sad that this is the last picture of him alive because it's an amazing picture. But there's a bunch of pictures of Travis in the shower.
Yeah.
And there's like this really, really deep one where he's like gazing into the camera and like water's dripping all down his face. It's kind of hot. And he's really handsome. Really pretty. So sad. I did not laugh and just say he was pretty to be like a dick. Calm down. Anyway, but that's what happened.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking at. And then there's two other pictures that they're like, what the fuck is this? One is a picture of a leg, and then you can see a head, and then you can see a shoulder, and then you can see a bunch of blood. Nothing really from the second one. So the picture, the camera took two pictures without someone knowing that it took two pictures. Which is weird because they were deleted. So, like, bitch, you knew.
Maybe it was a super sensitive button.
Right. So, they, sure.
You have the oops picture that you gotta go erase. Come on now.
Yeah, why not?
Oh, that's a cute
one. So, like,
she interjects herself into the investigation, which I thought that one detective guy that you like. That's kind of a clue for him, because that's what sociopaths will... I'm not saying she's a sociopath, but that's what
we are.
They try and do for the power and to see their work.
Yeah. She's crazy. So she gets arrested at her grandma's house in California, because Arizona puts out an arrest warrant for her for murder. So they interrogate her?
Yeah.
Dude.
Did she do a good job?
Impressed.
That's good.
Impressed.
That's good.
For 2 hours, maybe four. I don't know. It's a long interrogation. There's 4 hours of it available on YouTube that you can watch like her whole interrogation. Mm-hmm. And the cop's like, "So you weren't in Arizona?" And she's like, "No, I went to Utah though, and I met this guy." And he's like, "Okay, well, I'm gonna need that name." And she's like, "Okay," so she gives it to him or whatever. Then he's like, "So your palm print and your hair was found there." And she's like, "Well, no, duh, I lived there 5 months ago. My hair is everywhere. It's everywhere in that house." Uh-huh. And he's like, "Okay."
Us long-haired folks know how that is.
Yeah. And he's like,
"We should."
He's like, "Well, what if I told you that I had pictures and I know that you were there?"
Awkward silence.
And she's like, "No, like, I don't know. I don't know." And he pulls out the pictures and he covers her up too. And he's like, "So, that's you. That's all of you." And she looks at it and she goes, "Yeah, that kind of does look like me, but I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't there." And dude, he finally was like, "Bitch, please go get booked. They're going to book you now." And she starts kind of giggling in this weird, like, it's not a giggle, because she's trying to seem nervous empathetic. Mm-hmm. And she goes, "This is going to show you how vain I truly am, but can I get ready first?
What do you mean?
She wants to touch up and, like, do her makeup and do her hair." And he's like, "No."
Well, yeah, if you have to go hunt for a bodyguard, maybe.
He's like, "No, you can't. They're going to take you as you are right now
and to book you."
And you guys, while she's waiting, I have a clip here. She does a headstand for one. Very impressive. Just hops up on that wall like a goddamn pro. Anywho, this is what else she does. That's her playing with a water bottle, by the way.
Trying to keep calm. Maybe that's why.
That's what I figure. I figure we're just having a mental breakdown fucking moment.
Have you done this? You've had to drive north in a snowstorm where it's like whiteout conditions and you're trying not to slide after the goddamn road. Mm-hmm. I'll sing Bob Marley every time. Yeah.
You just get into it. Don't worry.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun. Yeah. Helps
my heart calm down.
So she sticks to her story, like I said, day one.
Yeah.
So day two, she comes back in and the cops are thinking on their toes. They're like, maybe if we put a chicken there, she'll break down a little bit.
More familiar.
Yeah. She'll open up.
Yeah.
So they send a girl in. And she's like, oh, I know your pain. I understand. Was he an ass? He was an ass. He was mean.
Yeah. Girl talk.
He was mean. I know he was.
Did you bring your coffee?
And she kept saying no. And she kept it. She was fucking around with her nails. She wasn't really talking to her. She wasn't really invested or whatever. And they're like, well, we can bring back in the male detective. And she's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring him back in. Like today.
Oh.
And she got super like, she's like, yeah, he's been in contact with Travis's family the most. And he like knows everything. I just feel more comfortable with him. He comes back in there and she's like, hey. Anyway, she didn't say that. That's not what happened. She already has a bad mugshot, so she's really sad. Well, it's not even bad. The guy who took her mugshot, he's like, she asked me about her hair. He's like, never once has anyone ever asked me how their hair looked.
In a murder investigation?
Well, in a mugshot. Like, you're arrested for murder.
Mm-hmm.
And she smiles. She's like, happy and shit. Hey.
I got a friend that has a pretty cute mugshot.
Well, like, I've always said that if I get arrested, I will do the smile just because of the photo. But that's just because everything gets put on the news nowadays. Fucking everything. Can't do anything without getting Facebook shamed for something. So, of course, I'm going to be like, hey. Unless it's horrible. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've never been a fucking criminal. Never have been. Charged.
You're just wanting it to get over with.
So I guess, you know what I mean? Smile, be cute. I guess. I don't know. She did. The guy was shocked as fuck. He's like, well, let's be serious. And she's like, no. Do I look good or not? Anyway. So the second day, she comes in. Like I said, she wants to talk to the dude. And she's just looking a mess.
Yeah.
Like orange and stripes are just... I'm judging her on her clothes, guys. It wasn't nice.
She's not fall color.
So, yeah. So, she says the second time, this is what happened. She finally breaks down.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, so, we fuck. We get down. We get dirty. Then, in the bathroom, we're in the bathroom together. All of a sudden, I'm taking pictures. Snap, snap, as you saw. Saw the pictures. Next thing you know, two fucking ninjas, a dude and a chick, get in the door. Mm-hmm. They come in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
They kill Travis.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
First thing, cap him.
Left her alone.
Yeah. Then they start arguing about her and killing her and doing away with her.
And that's what ninjas do.
That's just what ninjas do.
Yeah.
And they're white ninjas.
They're white ninjas.
With hoodies that went over their face and then the thingies came up over the bottom. All she could see was the eyes and that they were white Americans. And then they argue and they keep saying, that's not what we're here. She's not who we're here for. She's not who we're here for. No explanation. And then he tells her, if you tell anybody about anything, fucking kill you. And your family, and you won't be so lucky the next time. Leave. And she said, oh, fucking K. Got in her car, drove to Utah, met homie, went to the work conferences, went home to California. Too scared to say a damn thing because the ninjas was gonna get her. Scared. That's what happened. Anyway. So he's sitting there and he's like,
okay,
what the fuck? Ninjas?
Was there any other footprints in
no.
the mess of the
No. mess? And they're like, okay. Sure. Like, that sounds like fun. Weird. So then part one ends and she is aware that she's doing everything that she can. She's already on the news. She's taking press conferences. She's doing interviews. We're not even to trial.
What point does she get a lawyer? Because she
said, we get a public defender.
She said both those stories.
Mm-hmm. She doesn't get one until she goes to court. She doesn't get any. She just talks to him. She just tells him her story. She just says her story. What? Yeah.
I think that's what I would do, whether I did it or not. If I'm being accused of murder, I think I'm going
to... If you go to court for anything... Page for you guys, if you guys go to court for anything, get a fucking lawyer.
Not a public pretender.
If you're talking to the judges, if you're talking to people at all, get a lawyer. Mm-hmm. I don't give a shit what I'm there for. Give me representation, and then we'll go about our ways. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then trial starts. And her public defender's name is Kirk Nurmi.
Oh, cool.
And he was on a podcast called The Bullcast, episode 41. Pretty good. Watched the whole thing. Oh. Pretty good. Liked him. Subscribed. Pretty cool. He's not a bad dude. And people judge him because of her defending her. He is really not a bad guy. He's doing his fucking job. Yeah. Shout out to Kirk. And he's a cancer survivor. Okay. Like, this fucking case straight gave him cancer, bro. Dealing with this bitch. Yeah.
It stresses a lot of stuff to your body.
Yeah.
It really does.
It does.
It does.
So, on part two, the trial starts in 2013. The murder happened in 08. Mm-hmm. So, we have some time. I think. Yeah, we'll get to that. I'll double check my facts with you guys. But we'll move on. So she wanted to marry Travis, have his babies. They break up. So the prosecutor in this case, his name is Miguel. Oh no, what is it?
MacGyver.
I'm yeah. Kidding. We'll get to it. It's written down in here somewhere. Anyway. Okay. We'll just go from this. So he's super amazing, like I said. So they start out with obviously presenting the facts that Travis Victor Alexander was born on July 28th of 1977. He is an American salesman who was murdered viciously by his ex-girlfriend, Jodi Ann Arias, in Mesa, Arizona. On Wednesday, June 4th, 2008, he was stabbed 27 times, up to 27 to 29 times. His throat was slit ear to ear, a gunshot to the head. His jugular vein and common carotid artery and trachea had been slashed.
Those are all big.
He was almost, like I said, almost decapitated.
Yeah.
He had self-defense wounds on his hands. Mm-hmm.
So she massacred him.
Yes.
God.
That's exactly what she did. And she's claiming self-defense.
Or the ninjas. Oh.
So her new defense, her third story is self-defense.
Oh, okay.
So, in early 08, like I told you guys, Travis told people that when he first heard about Cancun, mm-hmm. Jodi was originally going to go. And then it switches up. Plans are changed.
Because she probably
pushed his ass away and he was like, we've gotten crazy. We broke up.
Yeah.
Now the other girl's going.
Yeah.
And on May, okay, now we're going before April. On May 28th, a robbery happened at Jodi's grandparents' house. DVD player was stolen. A stereo was stolen. And a 25 automatic pistol handgun.
22?
I don't know. Why do I have it written down as 25? Yeah, 22. Wow, well, that sounds dumb.
It's all right.
Anyway, maybe. Is that 25 a cal a real thing?
I don't think so, but it's. I don't know. Well, I'm not sure. I'm not a big gun person either, but I have 22 with my children.
One of those.
It's good family bonding time.
Yep, one of those. So that obviously links her to the case. The gun was never found, though, so we can't prove it. So we have to wash that away. We can't say that. On June 2nd, between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m., she called Travis four times, but didn't get through. The calls didn't last longer than 17 seconds, so they know they didn't go through. After 3 a.m., he calls her back twice. The first one is 18 minutes long. The second one is 41 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, at 4.03 a.m., she called him back again, it lasting 2 minutes and 48 seconds. None of the calls, transcripts, or anything were presented at trial.
Why?
They just weren't. They walked in there going, we really don't need much. Like, let's just let the defense put on their show.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, we can prosecute the shit out of her any day of the week and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
At 5:39 a.m., Jody started her drive. This is what comes out, okay? This is the area of what happens. That comes out in court. I'm telling you about court now. At 5:39 a.m., Jody started her drive to Utah. She bought gas at a Shell gas station in Eureka, California. On June 2nd at 8:04, she rented a car from Car Budget Rentals
mm-hmm.
in Redding, California.
Mm-hmm.
She said she would also return the car back to Redding, California. She stopped in Southern California on her way to Utah to see some friends and hang out with her friends. She says that she went to the PP&L work conference, met Ryan Burns, a PP&L co-worker,
mm-hmm.
late the evening of the 3rd. She had changed her hair from being a blonde to a brunette by the time they had seen each other again. Now she's brunette. When they first met, she was blonde.
Yeah.
They said, so she leaves California. Meanwhile, they point out in court that Travis is missing important conference calls on the night of June 4th. And on the night of June, that's on the night of June 4th, he misses the conference call that he was really looking forward to getting.
He was prepared.
He was prepared. We were doing this. We were rocking the shit out of this. On the 5th, Jody meets up with Ryan again in Utah. She leaves the conference and now goes to Salt Lake City suburb of West Jordan in Utah.
Okay, so that's a jump.
From California
to Utah is 12 hours,
yeah.
depending on
12:15. And so Ryan noticed, like I said, that she was now dark-haired. And she has a bunch of cuts on her hands. And she's like, oh, I got in from bartending because I'm a badass bartender. Duh. And,
I don't know what has one to do with the other.
Right. And so on the 6th, she leaves Utah altogether, drives towards California. She called Travis several times, leaving voicemails, text messages. When she returns the car on the 7th, it had been driven over 2,800 miles. That's 4,500 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
A rental car clerk testified that the car was missing its floor mats, but they could not prove that the floor mats were in the car when she rented it to begin with.
Oh, they didn't take... Usually they do a cute inventory thing.
Yeah, usually. So he testified that there was a red stain on the front passengers, on the front seat and the back rear seat.
Hmm.
But this could never be verified because the car was cleaned before cops could examine it.
Wait a minute. They didn't take pictures and go look at the car when she turned it in?
No, they just cleaned it.
Oh. Well, that's...
On June 9th, this is when... Oh, guys, I might have told you guys the wrong date before. Sorry. This is when the friends go discover him. So his poor friends discovered him.
Yeah.
Then, like, I'm not... I guess I can go through it again. Like I said, they go in. First of all, they see two big blotches of blood, two big, huge spots. Travis in the shower, blood all over the mirror in the sink.
Handy palm print,
like Blue's Clues. And like I said, on the 911 call, which the jury did not hear, the friends were telling the jury, telling 911, that Jody was stalking him. Logging onto his Facebook, slashing his tires. While searching the home, cops found the camera, like I said, in the washer. They got the nudie pics.
Yeah.
And at 1:40 p.m. on June 14th, those sexual pictures were taken. Mm-hmm. That's the end of the pictures of the sexualness. The final picture of Travis alive was taken at 5:29 p.m. So the DNA and the palm print come back on July 29th. She was, like I said, she was indicted by the grand jury in Maricopa County, Arizona for first degree murder. So they brought her home. They brought her back. She was arrested on July 15th in Arizona, in California. She was extradited to Arizona in September, pled not guilty September 11th. Then after her arrest, when we go to trial, okay, now we're presenting the case that she has, this is self-defense.
Uh-huh. Where did that come from again?
Well, she says that he was demeaning to her, mean to her, and tricked her into sexual, into having sex with him because he was like, well, I'm not, he's like, well, I'm religious, as you know, as you are too. We aren't really breaking the rules of Mormonism if we have anal sex and you give me blowjobs. And she's like, okay. So that's what they did a bunch of butt sex.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. They did a bunch of butt sex.
What?
Sorry if that got too graphic. But they really, she really did. And then she tried to say, oh my God. She tried to say he was a pedophile.
Why?
Because he bought her a pair of boy boxer shorts. They weren't even boy boxer shorts. They were obviously women's.
But they were, but the,
they looked like the boys. Yeah. And it says Travis on the back. Mm-hmm. And he was really into butt sex. So of course he was a little boy lover. Fucking dude, I couldn't imagine. My brother's murdered. I just looked at his dead autopsy photos. Because they say, she says, what happened is that she's taking the pictures of Travis. Camera drops. Travis gets out of the shower. Buck naked. Grabs her up. Lifts her up. And he's yelling at her. And he's telling her, you're dumb. You're stupid. A five-year-old can hold a camera better than you. You're fucking retarded. You're a dumb bitch. I'm going to kill you. All over a camera being dropped. Okay? Mm-hmm. When just a couple weeks before, bitch, you was saying that he wouldn't even allow you to get taken nudie pictures of him.
Yeah.
You were like, no, Travis, don't do that.
Yeah.
Until they were like, well, he does, because here it is. And then you were like, well, just that one time. So don't come at me. Dude, oh my God.
Deep breath.
Oh my God, guys. This shit. And like, so she's up there telling her story about how he is this horrible man that was mean to her, said dirty things that she didn't like and didn't want to be a part of. But then again, okay, so here's one of the text messages. Okay,
that's not a very good self-defense for murder.
Okay, but I just want to... number then. You guys, get in the state of mind. We're at work. Oh, we're sending dirty texts to our significant others.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Shit's
yeah.
getting deep.
Mm-hmm.
We getting deep in the sending of the texts.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get... Rejoice in being a whore. That sole purpose in life is to be my animalistic so that I can have animalistic sex with and please me in any way I desire. I will rejoice in you. That's some dirty shit.
Who sent that to whom?
Travis sent that to her. And I'm saying right now, no one showed me what the return text was. Because I guarantee you the return text and it say, Travis, please don't talk like that.
I can't believe they did. That's they not showed okay, that Travis, court please. In front of his poor mother.
Yeah.
For fuck's sakes.
Yeah. Sorry.
For fuck's sakes.
His poor dude, his sister. Well, okay, he had a horrible, horrible childhood. His parents were addicted to drugs. Mm-hmm. His grandparents saved him and his siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So he was brought up by them.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, his good poor folks. Sister, dude, sat there in the front row and watched all this horrible shit. And you could just see on her face that she was like, give me 5 minutes, bitch. In the hallway, right now, with your dumb ass.
Yeah.
5 minutes.
Yeah.
all I need. We'll get popping off. I'll walk away happy. We'll be done. Didn't happen.
Done.
Courts. They're unfair. So anyway, while we're doing, like, she's doing, they turn it on him and they're like, oh, he is this horrible person. He likes little boys. He likes butt sex. He made me do it. He was mean. And he broke my finger and he hurt my finger. And, like, now she has, like, this little weird gimpy finger, but she didn't have it before, but now she does. So she said he did it, but she got it in the acts of the murder. Like, she broke her finger in some weird way.
Well, she stabbed him 27 times.
And she doesn't remember anything. She says after.
And get all
crazy. Yeah. She says, like I said, he picks her up. He's yelling, you're dumb. You're this. You're that. You're whatever. He picks her up. We're done with her. Throw her aside. Then she remembers where the gun is. His gun, she claims. But no one ever found this gun ever again. So she goes and she gets the gun. She points it at him. She says, Travis, no, don't. I'll shoot you. And he's like, I'm going to kill you, bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, no. Mind you guys, he didn't speak like this. He was a very nice gentleman. Well, he may have. Man was dirty. But anyhow, that's all he has to say about his bad comings. Anyway. So that's what she says is going on. We're in a tussle. Gun goes off. First time I ever shot it. Fucking gets him right above the eyebrow. Amazing shot. He don't stop coming. He's still coming.
Time out, what'd you just say?
You heard me. But he's still coming. He's getting her. He's attacking her. Craziness. We black out.
Oh.
We wake up. We're driving on the side of the road. And we're at a canyon. We toss whatever we have with us. We don't know what it is because we're in this blackout moment. We have no idea. And yeah. There we go. Story over.
Well, I'm glad you're driving when you're blacked out and don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, then the mortician goes up there.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was just going to ask that.
Yeah, so the prosecutor is like, so if her story, this one,
was he shot first?
Encountered ninjas and got away. First she didn't do it, now we have ninjas, now it's self-defense. If he was shot in the head, like she says, is he capable of doing this? Not a fucking chance.
No.
You're dead within seconds.
Yeah.
He was stabbed first in the back, and then he switched over. He turned over.
Mm-hmm.
He was stabbed in his front area. He had defenses wound on his hands, his thumbs. And then he was shot in the head and then dragged and put in the shower.
Did the roommates didn't hear a gunshot?
They weren't there.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you something.
Huh.
Do you think that Jody and Travis were more in like a
BDSM type shit?
Relationship?
Probably.
That's not a judgy question. It's just a curiosity it's not. Question.
Yeah.
Because that's also, you know, goes into deeper feelings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And rejection's rejection. If you're pumped to go to Cancun and you already paid $90 for a swimsuit, and he says, sorry, but I don't like it when you blow up my phone for stupid shit. You're weird. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. I just don't know. So on May 7th of 2003, she's found guilty on one count of first degree premeditated murder.
Yeah.
And the way that they proved premeditation is the guy that she was seeing before Travis testifies that she went to his house and got gas cans. She was smart enough to fill up gas cans in this rental car so that she didn't have to stop at all throughout the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
For anything to show that she was there at all.
She was planning ahead.
She called him. She got it ready. He let her into the whole thing. They dick down. He's thinking they're going to get a booty call. Fuck, she'll go to Utah, whatever. He'll go to Cancun. That's what his idea of the night is.
Yeah.
That's not what happens, obviously. So anyway, now we have to go to the penalty phase of this. That's when you go in front of the jury and you plead for your fucking life.
Yeah.
She walks up there.
Asks how her hair looks.
Tries hustling shirts.
What do you mean?
She held up these white shirts that said, Survivor. On it. Because Whether they want to believe it or not, she says she is a survivor of domestic violence and she had to kill him. Only choice, only option, murder it is. So they were voted, I think it was 8-4, 8 voted for death, 4 didn't.
Yeah.
So they had to redo that phase again.
Yeah.
She still does the same thing. Everybody says the same thing pretty much. That they still come hung on the decision. So the judge automatically gets to give her life.
Decide.
Yeah, life. And, dude, she was doing a fucking, an Inside Edition interview before the sentencing and everything else. And what? She says, no jury is going to convict me on that, going to convict me because I am innocent. You can count my words on that. And then they played that. They obviously that was a part of it.
Yeah.
She tried to sell the shirts. She said every part of the donations from the shirts were going to be donated to the domestic women's violence shelter because that's what she was a survivor from. She also said she was going to donate her hair to Locks of Love while she was in prison,
mm-hmm.
and had already done that 3 times while being in jail. But you can't dye your hair to Locks of Love if you dye it. So I don't know.
Well, and they don't take anything less than... It doesn't have to be 10 inches?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Her family says she was troubled. Anyway, she's in life. And the reason why that this all came up is because I guess she's appealing her sentence again.
That's her right.
And they haven't heard back. But she's saying that the prosecutor was too mean, who was Juan Ramirez... Super fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And his super sad friend, Dave Hall, was the one who talked on Travis's behalf, which was super sweet. But Juan's a bamf. And poor Kurt. Like I said, guys, you guys can't trouble this dude. And he was only a public fucking defender.
Yeah.
And he tried. If you guys listen to that podcast, he talks about it a little bit. And he wrote a book about it. But he tried getting off of that case. Many, many times.
Yeah.
And was told no by the judge.
You burnt.
So.
Yeah.
You guys. This bitch is crazy. Can we all agree?
See.
Si.
Don't get obsessed with people.
Aye. So that was our story of Jodi Arias. And I won't make a joke. But follow us on Twitter at... It is what it is, 208, because that's where we're from. Instagram, it is what it is, pod 19, all one word. Facebook, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. And YouTube, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. Don't leave hateful stuff on YouTube either, because by the way, they won't even show it to the rest of the world because they have a no bullying policy. So unless you insult me in a really clever way, no one's going to see it.
We like criticism, though.
Yeah, I mean, criticize me, but fuck, don't be a dick. Anyway, and I don't have a horrible channel, so please come look at it. I devote a bunch of time to this.
Yeah.
And I love you guys. Happy fucking New Year.
Happy New Year. Be safe.
Be safe. And we're going to rock fucking 2020.
Yeah.
So here we come. Here it is.
Ooh.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
2020. See you guys in 2020. Bye.
Thanks.